The Jason Greger Show presents Struds On New Cans.
I was just thrilled to get a new can. God, slip that thing on, strutting around the dressing room, showing everybody what it's all about. Look at this new can. Hey, looking good.
The 101260 text line.
Thank you for everyone texting. Jeez. Woo.
Tea bags.
I don't believe in tea bags. I use loose leaf tea, and it is so much better than the tea bags. I'll eat tea bags.
Himself.
I've got nice bowling ball shoulders, a decent head of hair, and a big organ that needs to be heard.
It's time for Struds On.
Lovely Latvian. So this is, ironically, Greger, this is my Struds On. I'll share my story about the World Championships. I'm not going to lie. I would love to play for Team Canada World Championships. I was never asked. And, maybe they didn't want to win every year, but whatever. And then I went to play in Switzerland for a year. And there was a guy there I played. He was Slovakian. And I can't think of his name right now, but he was Slovakian. And he had played against Canada one time. And the way he talked about it, he said, we knew we weren't going to win. We were just, A, hoping to not get embarrassed too badly, and B, score a goal. And he said it was so huge for their program to play against his team and see how big, fast, and strong and smart the Canadian players were. It was a huge opportunity. But then I started talking to the Swiss players. We had, like I said, a Slovakian on there. We had an American who was not quite as into it, a Swedish guy. But those guys started talking about the World Championships, and it was revered. It is an institution there. I believe it's still true, but they have four national team breaks within the various leagues. So that would mean that there'd be a week break. Let's just call it October, November, January, and then whatever, February. Just those are the times. And there'd be a week off so that the national team players can assemble, practice, get together. It'd be obviously kind of the best of their best players and start preparing, whether it's for the Olympics in an Olympic cycle or it's preparing for the World Championship. But they would do that and bring it together and get everyone ready. And they loved it. I don't remember one guy in Switzerland complaining, we got to go to this national team. They all wanted to. They all knew how many national team games they played in. It was a huge, huge thing. So much like a North American hockey player would grow up thinking, I want to play X number of games in the NHL or a game in the NHL, whatever it is, they dreamt and dreamed about playing for their national team. So it's absolutely humongous for them to be a part of it. And, you know, the Swiss have made great strides in recent years. And I think Greg's is right. The Germans, I think, are coming. And I do believe that the higher level of player you can produce, it means that there's a lot of people underneath them that are maybe not quite as good, but your pyramid has been raised. So think about a country like Italy, and no disrespect to my Italian friends, but their pyramid doesn't have a very high peak. So they would have a lot of, like, let's call it average players, and then below that, right? And that, you know, you look at a Canadian pyramid, the pyramid would be, you know, it'd be very high peak because there's elite players. But then underneath those players, you have players that are just not quite elite. Then players that are just maybe just below that, then just below that. So before you get to average, you have a big chunk of your pyramid that is full of those types of players. So you have depth to your program. You have depth to your country's hockey. When you look at Germany, you know, 20 years ago, they didn't really have that high of a peak. You know, their peak was that high. But you raise it up now with the players like Seider and obviously Leon, your peak is really high. So what's going to happen is that there's going to be people that are just below Leon and then just below that guy. And now when you put your team together, it's not like one freedom fighter playing and all these other guys. You have a group of players now below that that can contribute. Maybe they're second or third line players. So for Latvia, well, as I watched them, I think they're mostly a very average group of players, but they worked really hard and had some nice moments in the energy there. But their peak hasn't quite raised up to where they have a elite top players. And I think that when you get those elite top players, it helps. Look at Zdeno Chara and his country, Slovak, right? Slovak, yeah. So you look at him. For many years, they had massively high peaks. They're top guys, and it started with Chara. I think you can mix in guys like Hossa, those guys, and as well. So your peak is so high, but then everyone falls behind. So now when you put together a national team, you have a group of players that, yeah, you have those top-end players, but you have players that can backstop them behind it. And in some ways, I'm talking a little bit about the empty owners too. You know, they have those top players, but now they've been backfilling and they have players behind that can support. So when you I believe that national teams need to have elite players, not elite for their country, elite worldwide. And then that raises your program up to heights you maybe you've never seen or you'll never achieve. So great step for the Latvians. I'm really excited for them. I love seeing that reaction in their country for a bronze medal. Never got a medal before. Imagine if Canada, now the women have been great for soccer for long years, but let's say at some point Canada wins, you know, even third place in the World Cup. I think the celebration will be pretty crazy. But I just love that reaction. I think it's so important for hockey to grow, Griggs. And having two non-traditional countries in a final or getting medals, I think that is massively important for the IIHF.